You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here, you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as the community of church planning and multi-site experts you thrive.
Hub with hubbub.
We are going to have a giveaway.
From the hub. The hub is going to give away. Yes.
We have a review from
Kirk
Miller.
You're sniffling a lot today. Do you have a cold? It's kind of gross on the podcast.
I know. You are a germaphobe.
Yes,
so.
I am. So from the hub should be germ-free.
Yes, and I don't have a cold. But we do have a review from Kirk Miller. At least he put his real name in the iTunes review. And his, believe it or not, this was his title. A contemplative review.
Wow.
5 stars.
Wow.
Contemplative. I don't think contemplative really.
I don't think he's actually listened to the podcast if he thinks that we're actually contemplative. So.
Okay, but check this out. You're going to like this, Ed. This is what he said. I give this podcast 5 stars.
Woo!
Despite Ed's incessant inability to refrain from interrupting Daniel during his intro.
Wow. That is
smiley face.
That is hateful. You are boring during the introduction.
Yes. Anyways, Kirk, send me an email, daniel@newchurches.com, or DM me on Twitter, and we will send you a New Churches moleskin notebook and pen. Well, today's question is from Justin.
Is it really like the skin of a mole?
I know. I mean, they're solidly made, but I have no idea why it's called moleskin.
I wonder if it's actually like moles have died for this.
Well, I'd be okay with that because moles are ripping up my backyard.
Well, there you go. It's you're an annoying. Angry, bitter man. I like that.
Yeah. Well,
like
it has not ever been this bad. There are literally lumps all around my kid's swing set.
Wow. Okay. Nobody cares about this.
Okay.
But it's fascinating nevertheless. So you know what you need to do?
Okay.
You need to take gas and pour it into all the holes.
Okay.
And then ignite it once it's full of gas. Okay. I probably should put a disclaimer. Don't try this at home. But that's what
won't
you need to do.
Won't that ruin my grass, though?
But the mole, who cares about the grass? Okay. Right now, the mole, you need to become obsessed with the mole eradication project that is your house.
We need to create a new church's mole whacker.
That is a mole whacker. I've always wanted a mole whacker.
All right. Let's listen to the question from Justin.
Hi, I'm Justin Medrick. My family and I are going to plant a church in North Minneapolis in January of 2017. I was curious about the context in which bivocational pastors benefit from being in the marketplace and where it might be detrimental. I'm in the beginning of fundraising, and obviously the budget would be affected by the income from an outside source or from church giving. Thanks. And I wish I had a goatee like you, Ed.
Oh, I love how you just threw that.
That totally didn't see that coming. And I would disagree. I'm looking at your picture right now because I Googled you, and you would benefit from a goatee. Because then again, everyone would benefit from a goatee. There's three kinds of people in this world, Daniel.
No, don't do this.
There's three kinds of people in there. There's men with beards, there's women, and there's boys. And so I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying. So let's just move on from there. All right. So North Minneapolis, question about bivocationalism. Great stuff. Great question. And, of course, Minneapolis, very fascinating context. You know, disproportionate number of megachurches. You know, not an evangelical hub like, say, a Wheaton or a Colorado Springs, but still for a city like Minneapolis, a disproportionate percentage of people. I have privilege of being a bit in North Central there, you know, at the Assemblies of God School, preached at the recently did Transform Minnesota there, preached for John Piper there, Desiring God, stuff like that. So love Minneapolis, great city. More people are native born and stay in Minneapolis than Minnesota than any other state.
Man, you like pull up all these random stats.
I love that. I love that. You know who told me all that is Leith Anderson. He loves Minnesota, and he doesn't care about like the 11 months a year where it's frozen.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's not really. Okay, so his question really is kind of built around the question of bivocationalism.
Yeah, and the benefit from being in the marketplace and where it would be detrimental. And this is interesting because we have, and we'll have this in the show notes, we've done plenty of episodes on bivocational ministry, and we recently had some posts on your blog as well on CT about that. But this is a unique question. Right? What's the context in which bivocational pastor pastors would benefit from being in the marketplace and where it would be detrimental.
Yeah, well, I think let's start with the benefits. The benefits would be the credibility that comes with bivocationalism. It's also going to be a credibility that comes with vocational ministry, but they both have credibility, but they have different sources of credibility. Mm-hmm. When you move to North Minneapolis, when you get a job at, you know, Home Depot or Starbucks or whatever, and you begin to build relationships with people, it's going to take longer. That's one of the downsides. Mm-hmm. It's probably going to take longer.
Bivocational church planting.
Mm-hmm. But what you've said is that, man, I'm part of this community. What you've said is I'm not coming in from the outside. It's not about people paying me outside to be nice to you.
Which can be awkward at times.
It can be
when
indeed.
You wait for your neighbor to come out to get their mail.
Exactly. And you kind of pounce on them.
Yeah.
I mean, you're just sort of a neighbor, a coworker, a friend who has a job that loves Jesus and wants to share with them. So, you know, as this kind of the missional incarnational approaches have sort of grown in prominence and influence, I think it makes sense that bivocationalism has to grow in that influence as well. I think part of the problem is a lot of people want to take a missional incarnational approach, take 10 years, build relationships, and they want someone else to pay them during that time.
Well, exactly.
I think that's a mismatch of models, missiology, and sort of approaches. Mm-hmm. So what I would say is some of the advantages are just the credibility that's there. Some of the advantages are the relational connections that you get. Now, I wouldn't do a bivocational job where I'm in a shop all by myself all day.
Yeah.
I mean, unless that's a skill that gives you enough resources to do the rest. But if you could do a bivocational job when you're around people, when you're building relationships with strangers, then that's a key thing. I mean, I mentioned Starbucks. A lot of church planters, you know, Starbucks has benefits as well, health benefits, insurance benefits. A lot of church planters actually do the Starbucks barista thing. And why? Because you're just meeting people all day.
Yeah.
And you're having conversations with people all day, and they want you to.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to be appropriate in your workplace, but you're building relationships that outside can lead to gospel conversations. So I think part of it's credibility, part of it's relational opportunity.
Yes.
I think part of it is that you can take the time you need to actually plant the church. When you plant a church funded, there's a pressure and a clock on you.
Yes.
Because that clock's going to run out. That money's going to run out. You can work for a long time to do that. You can get a job, work 4 or 5 years if you need to.
Yeah.
To plant the church and begin to grow it slowly, little by little. So I think there's some real good benefits here for bivocationalism. I will tell you, it's hard.
Yeah.
You know, I planted a church, bivocational, was working full-time, blowing insulation, running a contracting team, and going to seminary and planting a church. And I can tell you, it about wore me out.
Yeah.
So there are some downsides to that. So let's flip to the other side. What are some advantages of doing this vocationally? Well, one of the advantages is the rapidity.
Yeah.
Okay, you can go faster when you're full-time. We actually see this statistically, right? Mm-hmm. So in an earlier study we did, we found that churches get to self-sufficiency faster. Their survivability wasn't much higher. In other words, you're going to make it or not based on the gifting and the plan, the strategy. But you're going to get there faster to self-sufficiency if you have some financial support that's behind you. So there's the credibility comes with that. Someone from the outside has actually thought that you were trustworthy enough to resource you. So when you come in, you have a conversation saying, well, you know, the Evangelical Free Church, you know, helped invest here and invested this for me to serve in this way. You know, that's got some credibility. Mm-hmm. Downside is you can be seen as a paid agent, right?
Yeah.
A religious paid agent. So I think that there's upside to that as well. I would say also, I mean, the ability to evangelize is that the ability to make relationships is better bivocational. The ability to deepen those relationships because you have the time and to get to evangelism has actually been vocational ministry. The opportunity, I think, is better there. Now,
that's a good point.
You'll have more to add, but let me just say this, that one of the things you've got to consider is that what's your trajectory? You can stay bivocational forever. I have a friend who pastors at a church bivocationally that has 5,000 people showing up every weekend. He's a lawyer. And so he,
which is not the norm.
Not the norm. Very unusual. I have like one friend who's doing that, right? So, but I think when you begin to look to some trajectory, I mean, there's a real helpful book, Steve Shogren. I just heard from Steve like last week. We just talked on the phone. He wrote a book. I think it's called Creating Communities of Kindness. And he talks about bivocationalism. He suggests some ways to do it, but he also says, remember why you're doing this. So in Steve's description, your goal is to eventually get to vocational ministry. Now, we recognize there are models where that's not the goal, where you would multiply rather than expand, you know, organic church, simple church, house church, missional incarnational communities. We're for all that. Mm-hmm. But based kind of on a little bit what I'm thinking he's asking is you might want to be bivocational for a season and then find a way to transition out into that full-time ministry. But when you do, you'll actually transition out – in a greater position of strength rather than, I used to run a program where we funded seminary graduates for 2 years to plant churches. And what happened, more than we'd like to admit, is they'd go at it for 2 years. They didn't get self-sufficient in those 2 years. And then they'd quit. And the church plant might go on, but somebody else, because their funding ran out and they weren't ready to go above vocation.
Yeah. And their metrics and their goals were to be...
to be self-sufficient.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it was kind of demoralizing for them in the church. Mm. On the other hand, if we send someone out as bivocational and it takes 3, 4, 5 years, they're not demoralized. They're on a pathway to success in their perception of what they're supposed to do to get to self-sufficiency.
Yeah. So I hope you hear that, Justin, the importance of setting your goals and your metrics as well as you move forward in this, because there's no universal biblical, hey, you must plant in this way or become self-sufficient in this way or have this sort of budget. It's really, okay, what kind of church is God calling you to plant? How are you going to be most effective in your context? Now, Ed, I don't know if you remember this, but a podcast multiple episodes ago, you had talked about a individual, a bivocational planter who drove a garbage truck.
Yes.
Okay, so Bernard Emerson
is his name.
And I met him when I was working with Converge at their assessment center.
He has a nickname for himself too, so he's a fun guy.
Yeah, the interesting thing about Bernard, and we had talked about this when we were in
Did
Orlando
he know
together.
We talked about the
Awesome. One of his friends called him up and was like, dude, I think Ed is talking to you about you on the podcast. But the neat thing about Bernard is, you know, the earlier example you said, Ed, about the bivocational planner, one of the advantages in having the relationships that are around you, you know, that you can minister to and work with. Well, I mean, for Bernard, I mean, he woke up 4 a.m., started driving by 10 a.m. Some days he'd be done.
Yeah.
But it was the solitary thing.
Yeah, you know, totally solitary thing. But I was talking, true story, I was talking about him this morning. Driving to dropping my kids off. So we're driving down the road and a garbage truck comes by.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't know, we shouldn't say the salary amount he makes, but I said, girls, how much do you think someone who's working a garbage truck actually, I don't know if there's a better word, like a sanitation engineer. I don't know. I don't know what to say. I mean, but the guy running a garbage truck makes, and turns out I've told them a story before. So, cause he makes a whole lot of money in a garbage truck union job, et cetera, et cetera, in a major city. So, man, and he works alone.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess there's, I don't know how it works. If there's, you know, where we live, there's one guy in the garbage truck. But some places, there's a couple guys riding in the back.
So the neat thing about Bernard is, I mean, obviously he has the rest of his day that he can minister
to and
talk with.
Of course, he's tired by 8 p.m., but
But he still does have a large majority of the day.
So if you have a job that's solitary, but you can make good resources and then go plant, I mean, that's what he's doing.
Yeah.
And so, but what I would say is, most people riding a garbage truck haven't been there long enough where he's been to get the good routes and all sort of stuff. But most people are going to not make that kind of money. So they're going to, if you're going to make blank amount, I don't know what it is, but you can do it in a place where you're interacting with people, get it with a place you're interacting with people. That's better for you, unless you just make more money doing solitary thing and you have more time.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you could, you know, it'd be pretty interesting if you were an Uber driver.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's a good point. It's a good point. I don't know how much Uber or Lyft makes. But what I would say, too, is that those kinds of relationships can kind of open up to others. Now, Uber, I think they're all contractors. I don't think there's health benefits. You know, so I think that's a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
But the end result you want is to actually plant a church out of relationships where you've shared the gospel and try to find places to do that. And I should say that Sjogren, in his book, it's Sjogren is how you say Bill. Yep. No one knows how to spell that. But in his book, he actually suggests some jobs are not good bivocational jobs, like being a salesman. Because being a salesman, I mean, you basically got to work 60, 70 hours a week, and you're already selling a product. And so, and some jobs are good jobs where you, I think he mentioned being a school teacher. Mm-hmm. You know, is a good job for that because you have some more freedom and some, you know, your time, you end earlier in the day.
Unless you're grading.
Unless you're grading all the time. Yeah, exactly. And my wife, we think school teachers work hard. My wife was a school teacher before. She's now a stay-at-home mom. So all those things being said is that choose wisely the bivocational role you have.
Right on. Well, I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you haven't done so already, leave a rating review for us on iTunes. But also, if you have another question on church planting, multi-site, multiplication, leadership, just go to newchurches.com and there's a bar on the right-hand side where you can submit a voicemail. And if you're on your iPhone or your phone or your tablet, go to speakpipe.com/newchurches and you can download the app and submit your question there. We would love to answer it.